Welcome to Word Birds, where you'll hear content conversations directly from the flock. Join Christopher Willis in conversation with content experts and thought leaders as they chat about how to make the most out of your words in business. Here's your host, Chris.
Welcome to Word Birds, a birds of a feather conversation between people that care about words. Today on the show, we have Robin Collins. Robin is the senior creative copywriter at a company called WeTransfer. Today, we're going to talk about her divorce from and reconciliation with the Oxford comma. We're going to talk about how if you don't care about words, you probably don't care about your customers. And then we're going to look at the remarkable work that she's doing inside WeTransfer and WePresent. Let's sit back and get some insight from the flock. Hello, Robin. Welcome to Word Birds.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited to have you here today because I use the product that your company builds. Robin is here from WeTransfer, also WePresent. And I think just starting off, I want to learn a little bit more about you. And I heard a thing, a way that you had described something was that you are recently divorced from the Oxford comma. I'm fascinated. What does that mean?
If I'm going to be truly honest, it was a bit of a make myself seem interesting while I was freelancing and sending out my resume to a lot of companies and pitching a lot of projects. And it would always be a great conversation starter. But there is truth in it. For a long time, I used the Oxford comma and then I kind of fell out of love with it. And it was just like, there's no like real hard and fast rules. It's some people do it and some people don't. So then I stopped doing it. And then now I work for a company where Oxford comma is in our style guide. So I've had to re-adopt it. And I find myself now using it outside of work as well. So it's controversial, but it's a bit of a lie. It's not really relevant anymore because I do have adopted the Oxford comma.
It's a fantastic position to take, though. It's like the two spaces after the period. Like either you do it or you don't. Just call your shot. Stick with it.
Exactly. Apart from I apparently didn't stick with it. I'm quite fickle.
Fair enough. So jumping into that, so what is your role inside WeTransfer, WePresent, and how do you live with that Oxford comma situation?
To put my history, WeTransfer, into a nutshell, I joined the company about 4.5 years ago. No, almost 3.5 years ago, coming up 4 years. And I was the company's first ever copywriter. So they'd never had a copywriter before. WeTransfer, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a file sharing platform. Most people know it for just WeTransfer.com, free, easy way to share big files. And we've actually been around since 2009. So for those first like 8-9 years, I wasn't really a copywriter. It was just startup vibes, people just pitching in and doing their own stuff wherever they can. So when I first joined the company, they had no idea what to do with me. No one really knew what copywriter was. Kind of was just spread across everything. I would be doing marketing, like emails and landing page stuff, social media, but also writing for the product itself, like UX flows and things like that. And also just any internal stuff that needed done. But over time, I convinced the company of the value of investing in copy and words. And I'm a big advocate that if you don't care about the words you're writing, you don't care about your customers, because quite often your words are the way you're interacting with people who use your product and tools. So since then, we've now grown into this whole team of writers, which is great. So we have our own dedicated product writers that work on WeTransfer the product. And we also now have several other tools under the WeTransfer umbrella. They are more technical UX writers. We have advertising copywriters, which work with our advertising external clients. So when you go to WeTransfer.com, quite often the big beautiful background adverts. So we'll be working with Nike, Gucci, Adidas, Netflix, the big names to come up with ads to run on the site. And then we have people like me who are brand writers, and I kind of work on anything that comes from WeTransfer, the brand itself. So that could be product marketing moments, brand marketing moments, but also things like the content we produce as a company, which is, as you already mentioned, WePresent.
It's amazing when you think about, you have a business here that spreads itself virally. Like somebody sends a file, somebody else gets it, they're introduced to your product. The marketing aspect of this is, I feel like it's less intensive than it would be at a company that nobody's ever heard of that doesn't spread virally, which would make you feel like content wouldn't be the top of mind for the business, but it sounds like it is. I like the way that you phrase that if you don't care about your words, you don't really care about your customer. And you've come from a space where you were the entire customer experience from a content standpoint to finding yourself in a category and seeing that all grow out. How important is content to the business?
I think it's really interesting because when you look at WePresent, which is, if people haven't heard of it, it's the digital arts platform belonging to WeTransfer. It was never started as content marketing. That was never the goal with it. So something a lot of people don't know about WeTransfer, that it's really kind of always given back to the creative community. So from the very beginning, from when it was first formed, 30% of the advertising kind of real estate, so these big backgrounds you see on WeTransfer.com, was just given away, donated to creatives. So helping out friends, artists, creatives, companies, charities that are doing interesting things, we just give away that real estate for free. And I think over time, I can't remember the exact number, but it's billions of dollars worth of advertising that's been donated. And it's just because creativity is super important to the company. Describe ourselves as a company that was designed, like made for creatives by creatives. The two guys who founded it were still creatives, worked in the advertising and design industries, and just built the tool out of a need to solve a problem. Like when they were sending big files and wanted to send big files from agency to agency and get it done in a way that was free and easy. So because we've always given away so many of these wallpapers and donated them to artists, we then used WePresent, or at the time it was actually called This Works. And it was a blog just where you would click on the wallpapers, what we call the big background image on WeTransfer.com. And then it would take you through to a link where you could learn more about that artist or that creative project. So it kind of was just born from their way of just, we've always given back to the creative community. And so this was a way for people to then see if they saw an image or a piece of artwork they liked, they could click and know that they could then just go on to read a bit more about that artist. And then it just organically grew into this big creative platform where now we're working with huge names in the industry and are commissioning really cool films and exhibitions and photography series. And it's always about giving back to the community and giving back to people who use WeTransfer.com. So it's a nice, like, cyclical nature.
It's amazing. I don't feel like that's what you would expect from a company like this. And it's using content to surprise and engage. Analysts use delight a lot and want to talk about customer delight. And that is the primary focus of the content your company is creating, that you're creating, is there's a product and it works. But how do we keep people engaged beyond the use of the product? And it's through this content that takes the product to the next level.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a nice thing about WePresent is people can use it if they're looking for inspiration, maybe. So the idea is that maybe someone can scroll through the site and it will spark something in them to then go on and have an idea of their own, or then help them think differently about something that they were stuck on or something they're working on, and then they can go back to it. But it also acts as, you've been working really hard on this design file. You're in like version 4 of the final version, and you know, you've just really been through the ringer with this work. You go to upload it to the site to send it, and you just need a minute to breathe. Then you can also click through to WePresent and just sit back and enjoy it. So it does serve purposes, which I think is really nice.
Oh, I think it's incredible. It does have to create challenges for you, though, as somebody that creates this content, because you're building for a pretty wide audience. You don't have just a specific persona you're building for. How do you manage the range of content that you need to deliver to engage this audience?
Write like you mean it with AcroLinks.
Yeah, so we have a dedicated team, WePresent team. So I'm by no means the experts of the ins and outs of that, but we have a curation team. And what I really admire about their work is it's everything they do is about diversity. We feature a lot of different types of work on the site because creativity means a lot of different things to different people. So it can be photography, it can be music, it can be film, it can be illustration, it can be design, architecture. So it's very broad in the topic that it covers. And also, it's not just about showing cool projects. It's about actually speaking to the artists and digging into their creative process, finding out how they get inspired, what they do when they come across roadblocks, like how they can get through a creative funk. And so many of the readers and the users of WeTransfer identify as creative. So we all know the really frustrating process of creativity, right? There's highs, there's lows, there's all kinds of mixed emotions, banging your head against a wall, like caffeinating yourself. There's so many ways people just deal with and handle the creative process. And I think we try to be something for everyone.
Did you know early on that you were going to be creating content for people that are kind of like you?
I guess so. Because I think within the company, a lot of people who work there are creatives, and we are still a tech company. So the majority of the employees are engineers and product designers and work in that more, I guess, traditionally technical, less creative field. But everybody still has an interest in creativity. And in the teams that I sit on, everyone's very much like passionate about creativity and the creative process. And I think everybody globally wants to find the secret to a good idea. If we all knew what the magic was to bring an idea to life when you needed it, I think that'd be $1 million.
Oh, absolutely. It's exciting that you're very much in a SaaS software environment, but you're getting to create a more interesting persona, a more creative persona that on the one hand would be excited about your content, but also the flip side is might identify when your content isn't right for them. How do you gauge feedback from that audience as to whether you're hitting the mark?
Again, it's hard to say because I don't work directly with the team I'm not on the team that works directly with the kind of the numbers and the data behind everything. I think everything we put out generally gets a great reception. You'll get some people who think during Pride Month, not necessarily even just through Pride Month, because we don't really celebrate that because we should be proud all year round, but we're not afraid to work with artists that maybe do something a bit more provocative in their work. And when that's getting advertised on like a wallpaper that's being seen by millions of people around the world, not everybody's going to be happy with seeing images of, I don't know, two guys kissing or something that isn't a big deal at all. And we'll get emails from people being like, oh, I can't believe I have to look at this while I'm uploading my files. But I guess you just have to
can't please everybody.
Try and educate them, take the good with the bad, focus on what we want to do and keep going on.
So changing gears slightly, one of the things that we've been seeing come into alignment in the content space is just the idea of what you say and how you say it matters in the way that content is gauged effective. So tone of voice, clarity, consistency, emotion, inclusiveness, all play into how your content is viewed and accepted and engaged with. Do you see that in your world?
Yeah, for sure. And as a copywriter, my kind of number one rule is always to write like I speak, to make sure everything is clear. I have a passionate hatred for business jargon and acronyms. Anytime anyone tries to use an acronym in a meeting with me at work, I'll just, sorry, can you explain what that means, please? And I think that's, I've been lucky enough to work with brands over my career that have had quite a straightforward, clear, quite like fun, witty tone of voice, which is very much the style I write in. And that's the tone of voice I created for WeTransfer as well when I was first brought in back in 2019. I had a train of thought there that's just completely gone. But yeah, I think being clear, one thing that is really useful at WeTransfer is for the free product at least, our audience is global. We have about 80 million people using the product every single month. And we don't really have a persona, an average age of user. All we know is that about like 70% of our users identify as creatives. So they're working in creative fields, but they can be of any age. I think we have maybe our average age user is in their 40s. And I just know personally that my brother-in-law's father is an architect who uses WeTransfer.com. And so quite often at family gatherings and stuff, we'll be chatting away about WeTransfer and what's going on. And he's a man that's in his 60s. He's tech savvy, but probably not like native the way that Gen Z and millennials and stuff are with tech. So I now quite like to keep him in mind when I'm writing stuff. So if I'm writing stuff that I know that's going to be on the free product and seen by millions of people, I just think, if I just called Steve now and said that to him, would he understand this? And so I just found that's like a useful hack for me to just keep Steve in mind. And I feel like everyone should have a Steve that they're writing to be like, wait a minute, if I just stopped and said that to him. I think as well, it's the classic one is if you said this to your parents or your grandparents, would they understand it too? Because it's, especially when you're working at a tech company, it's very easy to just get caught up in your own bubble because you're working so close to the product that you think, oh no, everybody understands this weird technical word, but they don't. So yeah, speaking clearly and really simple language is super important.
Looking forward at 2023, which used to seem so far away, but apparently it's coming any day now. What's one initiative that you really want to focus on to take all of this to the next level?
I think as a company, this year, WePresent did win its first Oscar, which was a huge deal.
I'm not sure how you beat that.
For the company, right? So we commissioned a short film with Riz Ahmed that went on to win Best Short at this year's Academy Awards. And if you haven't seen it, it's called The Long Goodbye. And it's like heartbreaking, powerful. It's such a great film. I think it's about 11 minutes. So I recommend anybody and everybody watches it. And once you win an Oscar, I think it's hard to know what to do next. But as a company, we did also become a B Corp in the last couple of years. So sustainability and making sure we're doing the right thing in the tech sphere to make sure we're not, you know, adding unnecessarily to climate change is a really big thing for us. So looking at things like how can we offset people's carbon when they're sending files? What can we do to use our B Corp status and shout about that and make a difference in the tech space? And I think as a creative company, we'll hopefully come up with some nice creative solutions for that.
Excellent. Yeah, we're also on that journey. We're headed down the B Corp lane right now. We've done things in the past from a carbon standpoint. We've worked with tree planting organizations and a number of different approaches. But yeah, bringing tech into the future, being a more responsible corporate player is pretty much the right thing to do.
It has to be the future. We don't, at this point, there's not much other option.
No, not really. Excellent. Robin, thank you for being on. If somebody wanted to follow up with you afterwards, continue this conversation, what's the best way to find you?
I'd say you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm a bit more active on Twitter though.
Fantastic.
If you just search my name, Robin Collins, on Twitter, you'll find me.
Excellent. Thank you very much for being on the show. Have a great rest of your day and thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to join us next time for more insights from people who love words. This podcast was brought to you by AcroLinks. Continue honing your enterprise content by checking out other episodes at acrolinks.com/wordbirds. If you have questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Chris and his team by sending a message to word.birds@acrolinks.com. That's all for now. See you next time.